Hi, I'm your host, Megan Whiteside. I'm a lawyer and a mom, and I know how trying to balance the two can leave you feeling depleted and stuck. Are you ready to reframe your mindset, own your power, and set yourself up for success? You're listening to the Mom Life and Law Podcast. To another episode of Mom Life and Law. I'm here with my new friend and colleague Lorraine. If you will introduce yourself and let the listeners know what you do.
Yeah. Hi everyone. My name is Lorraine Martinez Bellamy. I'm a life and business coach, and I'm also a lawyer by day. So I'm a sister in the law alongside Megan.
Awesome. So I love having coaches on this podcast, especially women lawyers who have also turned into coaches. I feel like that, like, I didn't know so many of you existed until I started doing this podcast. So how did you start coaching or get into coaching?
Yeah, I feel like Clubhouse and beyond has really expanded my finding other lawyers that are coaches, which is such an amazing relationship to have because we understand both sides of each other's brains. So right around the time I turned 30, I had checked off kind of the proverbial to-do list of the things that I wanted to do with my adulthood, quote unquote adulthood, a list that I probably created when I was like 17 or 18 years old. So I was 3 years into a job at a wonderful nonprofit that I'm still at now. I'm doing really amazing consumer work, foreclosure defense, really like fulfilling work. I had just bought a beautiful house with my now husband, then boyfriend, renovated it, made it perfect. I was in great shape. I was with my boyfriend at the time, but like the person that I thought I was going to be with forever. And I remember turning 30 and all of a sudden feeling like crickets, like I could hear just crickets. And I'm like, oh, what is happening? Like I thought that once I checked everything off this list, like I was just supposed to be like happily ever after. And nobody ever talks about what happens when you like reach all of your goals, especially if you're like a goal-oriented, like ambitious person. What likely should have happened is along the way I should have been setting new goals or like checking in with myself about the goals that I had originally, but you don't know that until later. So I remember having checked all this off, like really busted my ass doing it, and then having this void just in my heart, like feeling like I was called to do something more, that I was called to serve in a higher way in some way, but having no idea what that was. And along with it came this feeling of both dread of having to take apart my life and be like, and like literally figure out what was wrong with it, and which meant like setting aside all of the work I had put into it. And then also alongside that was this feeling of like, who am I to want more? Like I have so much already, like people would love to have this life and this, you know, existence that I've created. So there was a lot of mixed emotions around that time period. And
sounds like,
yeah.
It.
And I find that with my clients, I can almost guess what age they're going to be when they schedule calls with me, because it's either 29 or just turned 30, or more our age where it's like heading into 40, like 37, 38, 30, where you're just like, okay, now that I have time. And sometimes it depends on when you have kids, right? Like what age, because I have a one-year-old now, and I can only imagine that if I had a one-year-old at 28 or 29, I would have been very distracted for many years before I caught on to the fact that I was kind of unsatisfied. So that's when I had the realization that something was missing. And Megan, I don't know if you have a similar story, but I went through this like 2-year dark night of the soul, and everything on the outside looked fine, right? And I mean, in general, I was fine. I was healthy. I was happy enough. But for someone that really cares about fine tuning my life, the fact that I had this nagging sense of dissatisfaction really was annoying me. It was just like annoying. And I pondered and pondered and pondered. And one day I was like, you know what? Like, I tell you, it's crazy. I can't even remember what happened on that day, but I had been journaling about it. I'm like a huge journaler. And now when I read back my journals, I can see the thread heading into coaching and the fact that I was kind of a natural coach my entire life. I'm like the oldest of three. I'm the oldest cousin of a bunch of people and had been leading people through life, you know, naturally. And I was just like, you know what? I think I want to coach people on exactly what I just went through the last 3 years, which is a common experience for us coaches. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give it a try and see if I like it and see if I can help some people and have some fun.
Oh my goodness. What a journey. And I think that your story is a relatable one, right? I certainly had a moment when my baby, my youngest, turned one, similar to what you just described, where everything on the outside looked perfect. I had a great job, great career, great husband, healthy, beautiful children, beautiful roof over my head. You know, I didn't want for anything in my external circumstances, but there was this deep sadness or void, you know, underneath it all. And those feelings of, you know, almost shame or, you know, why am I not happier with what I have? Like exactly kind of how you described it, like, this doesn't make sense, and actually grappling with that. I'd love to hear more about sort of what you went through in your process, because I imagine there's a woman listening right now who's like, yeah, I have it all, quote unquote, have it all, and I'm really unhappy. Like, what did you do when you reached that realization yourself?
So I call myself a knowledge hoarder, which, by the way, our friend Vanessa loves that term. I chatted with her about it when we talked about my Clifton strengths, because I love learning new things. It's like one of my passions in life is just learning and learning. So I dove into like a pile of books, of like personal development books, and started listening to podcasts and started just getting around people that were doing different things than I was to see if anything kind of like stood out to me. But what I think your audience will really resonate with me with is, like, we're in a very traditional career where everything kind of has like a path. There's like a clear path. Even if you want to shift in the career, there is a clear path for the shift. No, never mind the fact that the law is completely unclear. You know, the career of being in the law is pretty clear, right? Everything else is gray. And I was really uncomfortable with trying new things and sucking at them. Like I was at a place in my career where I felt like I had a good handle on what I was doing day to day. And I wasn't really keen on really sucking at things. So the thought of like trying out a bunch of new things and just seeing if it worked out for me was nerve-wracking. So I remember I just read a bunch of things and I talked to people and I started going to women's events and started to kind of I remember I read The Big Leap, which helped me get in touch with, you know, what my strengths were as a person and as a professional, as a friend. And I did this whole information gathering phase that just seems overwhelming to me now. And it's the reason that I create programs that guide women through this process in a more in a way that appeals more to our analytical brain, because when you're stepping into something creative and you're coming from a traditional career path, it can feel kind of like a death drop. So all of that to say that my process felt very amorphous and just like unclear where I was going, and it was uncomfortable. And I think that part of it is that our very analytical, give me the answer brains, have to be okay with a certain level of uncertainty and like a lack of clarity when we're stepping into something creative, because it doesn't have like the very set steps that we're used to in terms of a career path. But it doesn't mean that it's amazing. It just means that we have to be okay with some feelings of discomfort and uncertainty.
Oh, yes, I can relate to that so much. So it's interesting that you said you read The Big Leap, and that was one of the books that was part of your journey. That is what I feel like started my,
oh my
like,
God, I love
self-discovery,
this
personal development journey.
I love that.
I love that book. I like have bought it. I've bought it as gifts for so many women. I just, it's It's amazing that concept in that book of what is your zone of excellence, like what you are naturally good at versus what's your zone of genius. And that, you know, a lot of us live in that zone of excellence. And I think, and I might be butchering the concept, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it's sort of like what comes easily to you where everybody thinks it's like your A plus work, but it's really not scary, not hard. You don't really have to strive for it. You know, some of us in school were just good at certain things that maybe others weren't, but that's not really what fuels us, what drives us, what doesn't feel like work. Like that zone of genius stuff is where you can get into that state of flow and just, you know, it's work that energizes you and doesn't deplete you. And it's what you are uniquely suited and gifted to do that also excites you. Mm-hmm. And that distinction was really eye-opening for me. How was that for you?
I felt the same way because as like high achievers, some things come naturally easily and some things we're going to work hard at until we're really good at it because that's just how we're wired. So then you end up with this set of skills that's pretty expansive of both things that come naturally to you, things that you've worked really hard at, and especially in a legal career, I don't think anybody, I mean, I guess some people walk in and it's pretty easy. I remember having to like restructure how I wrote. Like my natural way of writing was not okay with like legal writing first year. And I spent that whole first year like learning how to write again. So there are those both. And I think that the zone of excellence stuff that comes kind of naturally, but that we've worked on and become skilled at and stuff is even harder to let go of because there's this sunk cost that goes along with it as well. So I remember my first training that I ever created, webinar that I ever created for my audience was called How to Uncover Your Zone of Genius. And it came up after reading The Big Leap. And I love that we share that book because one, I love that when I connect with other women that are like obsessed with the same books because it feels like it immediately gives you something to like bond over and speak about. But I think that the reason that it appealed to both of us so much and gave us such huge aha moments is because it is pretty scientific and analytical. So it does speak to kind of possibly where we were at the beginning of these journeys rather than where we are now and could serve as a really amazing bridge for people that are confused, slightly unsatisfied and unhappy, but aren't willing to be like go full woo right away. It's like intro to creativity.
So how did you go from sort of your personal development journey to becoming a coach yourself?
This is funny, Megan, but I literally decided one day that I didn't want anyone to feel shitty and alone and confused about where they were in life, having done all of the work that I had done already. And then waking up one day and being like, oh, this doesn't feel perfect. So I need to like tear everything down and start all over again. And I was really inspired with the thought of helping people just tweak small things in their life. And this is what I told myself. I was like, you have a lot of degrees already, Lorraine. So should you try coaching? And I did a beta program. Should you try coaching these 5 people for a month and like it? You can then go get certified and do all of the fancy certificate things that your brain loves to do. But we're not going to get an additional degree in exploration mode. We're going to take action because my natural tendency is to take in information and do nothing with it. So I said, we're going to disrupt this pattern and we're just going to take action, see if we like it, and then come back to the drawing board and decide what to do going forward. So that was 3+ years ago. And that first round of clients had such amazing results. I had such a great time doing it and speaking to Zone of Genius. I never feel like I'm working when I'm coaching people. Like, I feel like it's the funnest thing to do. And even when I have clients that really grow me as a coach and I have to tap into different skills, I love every minute of it. And I never slowed down enough to get certified. So full disclosure, I am not certified. I'm self-educated. But I have worked with coaches and I have taken programs and done courses and created kind of like a curriculum for myself that works for me and also for the type of women that I love to work with. So I just decided one day that I was going to give it a try. And if I didn't like it, there was literally nothing to lose. Like, I had my 9-to-5. I could try something else.
Oh, I love that so much that you just went for it and took action, because I feel like there are, especially the lawyer brain, right? Like, there are so many of us who feel like, okay, if we don't know all of the information, right? If we don't know how to do every single thing, like, we have to wait until we know it all, we can do it perfectly before we take action. But there's no way to, I think, that there are parallels in legal careers and in what it sounds like how you approached your coaching career, where it's like you just have to start doing. You have to just start taking action to really learn, to grow, to evolve. And I learning that concept of Brooke Castillo calls it passive action versus massive action, where it's like we feel like we're taking action if we're taking all the courses and reading all of the books and learning all of the things, but that's not actually advancing any of our goals, right? That it feels like we're checking things off the to-do list, but it's very much passive action, where it's you have to go out there vulnerable, willing to be a novice, willing to mess it up. You know, I think back to our first year in practice, right? Like, I'm a litigator, you're a litigator. We didn't know how to try a case until we actually started trying cases, right? You can take so many CLEs and trial advocacy courses, but you just have to do it. You just have to take that massive action to get towards your goal. And I love how you have used that principle and been an example of it in your coaching business. That is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with our legal careers, I always remind myself of that first year when you're actually in court and like actually like litigating and doing things. There are still days like 10 years in that I'm like, don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, what is happening here? And in some ways, in anything that you do, there are days where you're just like, what am I doing with myself? But for the most part, you start like gaining that expertise, but it is a gradual process, right? And I know we're contemporaries, Megan. So it's like, you think about year one and then you think about year 10 and it's like, it's different. There are different things, and you didn't show up being a good advocate and a good lawyer. Like, you showed up as a blank slate and you were willing to take action many times because you had no choice, because you had a job, right? And I think that one of my other favorite books is The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And it talks about how we know how to do hard things that make us uncomfortable. We do it every day when we show up for work, even though we're not in the mood, when we deal with our, you know, asshole coworker, when we deal with our kids when they're annoying us, when we're doing things that don't feel comfortable all the time, but it's because we think we don't have a choice, right? We need to get paid. We need to like be nice to our children. We need to like do all the things. But when it comes to doing something creative, something that we consider an art form or entrepreneurship, we give ourselves a lot of leeway on whether or not this is necessary or mandatory, right? And my argument in this whole thing is like, you don't have a choice either, because you have this deep void in your heart and in your spirit where there's something missing. So whatever is calling to you almost isn't a choice, right? Like, you're going to eventually give in or you're going to be miserable for a while. So when you start looking at it that way, as a professional showing up to do your craft, no matter what stage of business you're in, even if it's not generating money yet, it's still your craft and your art. And when you show up for it, how you show up with the consistency and the dedication that you show up for your 9-to-5 job and being a mom and, you know, being a sister or a daughter, then you get the same satisfaction and results from it. But it's when we allow ourselves really to think that this is an elective in life, that we end up more disappointed, because we're like, why can't we stick to it? Why don't we have the discipline to do this? And it's like, because you're not treating it like a professional. You're treating it like a hobby, right?
Yeah. And I think what you just spoke to about when you have a gift or a passion or something inside you that you're not using, doing, fulfilling, there's a deep sense of dissatisfaction. And for me, it was, you know, I wanted to create a community of lawyer moms. I wanted to be a voice because I felt like all of us felt so alone in our unique struggles as lawyers and as moms. And I kept doing it on a small scale in my Washington, D.C. area lawyer moms group. But I just felt like there was more. I wanted to be doing more. And, you know, that's one of the passions that I have tapped into recently. And actually getting out and taking action, I was scared as hell when I started this podcast, right? But actually doing the things that are important to you, it brings such satisfaction, even if it's messy, even if it's imperfect, even if, you know, it's not for everyone. I'm not for everyone, and that's okay. Criticize me away. I am doing this because I have something inside me that it just, I had to let it out. And I've seen so many women lawyers recently doing things that they are passionate about, right? You know, I have a lawyer mom friend who, you know, works, you know, 50% of the time as a partner at a law firm and 50% of the time she's got her own business. You know, I just have a friend who started a nonprofit, an idea that had been on her heart for years, right? And it's, there are ways I think that women lawyers want to show up as leaders, and this profession is so male dominated that a lot of us quiet ourselves, right? But if you want to be the diversity, equity, and inclusion leader at your firm, if you want to start some sort of group, you know, within a bar association, right? If there's something, there's a passion on your heart, it's amazing what happens when you just go for it. Is that what you feel like has happened for you, or what you see your clients go through?
Yeah. And I think what you're creating is so important to the going for it part. Because for many of us, we are one of one in our group of lawyer friends that are doing something else beyond the law. In our family, like I always tell my clients that are coaches that feel like the market is saturated, that to go to a party this summer and count how many other coaches are at the party. Like, unless you're going to a coach event, like it's just going to be you. So it's like, you're not saturated in your network. And I think what you're doing is so important, especially for us analytical thinkers, to have a community of people that are also doing uncomfortable, scary things that are also really fun. Let's just put it out there. Like, we talk a lot about the discomfort of it and the having to like take that big leap and do all this. But I mean, the payoff is amazing. You feel amazing on fire when you're doing your thing, and like it never feels like work, and you make money and you affect lives, and it's incredible. So remember that part too. But what you're doing as a connector, because that's how I see you, Megan, is like a connector of people and resources is absolutely so needed. And I think it's one of the key components of really sticking to it in that first year of whatever is new to you. And maybe it's not entrepreneurship, maybe it's something like what you said your friend is doing with where she's creating a nonprofit. All of these projects that are beyond the traditional career paths require some level of support, because you're not going to be 100% every day, you know, and your 100% is going to vary. And some days you're going to be like, what am I doing with myself? And then other days you're going to be like, I'm on top of the world. And on the days that you're feeling like, what am I doing with myself? It's really helpful to have a group of women that are like, this is what you're doing with yourself. This is what you told me you were going to do. Like, this is why it's so needed. And then you're like, oh yeah, that's why I'm doing it again. And we're never all in the dumps the same day. So it's so important to find support and communities to do scary things that will eventually be a lot of fun.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I think that fun aspect is underrated, because, you know, as lawyers, there's so much to our jobs that is not fun, that's stressful. To be able to find something, you know, whatever it is for you, it doesn't have to be a business, but if there's a business on your heart, then go for it. But there's being able to bring that joy is, I mean,
What is the old saying? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? Like when you are happy and fulfilled, it affects everyone in your family, in your life, in your workplace. True. And it's
now that I'm mama, I fully believe it.
Yes. So what is, in your opinion, what is important about working with a coach, right? Because there are a lot of different coaches out there. And I always love to ask this question because I think all of you have different insight into the benefits of coaching.
Yeah. So to me, on the receiving end of it, and as a coach myself, I think having someone else explain your brain to you is really useful. To just have someone, like you're, when you're in the frame, you can't see the picture, right? As they say, I think that's as they say. And when you have a coach, you have someone that intimately knows what's going on in your brain in a very non-filtered way. And we have ways of filtering almost everything with everyone we have in our lives. Like even our dearest friends and our spouses and our partners, we still filter the information. I think with a coach, you, if you find the right coach for you, you are free to dump it all out and then have someone kind of like look through the stuff with you and be like, hey, have you thought about this? You know, this is how I see your mind working. Have you thought about this like short circuit you have going on? And I just am always fascinated with what speaking your thoughts out loud, the value of that is, you know, beyond words. Just even if you were just talking to yourself, or they say like a lamppost, as Brooke says, and you would still come out of it with something. And when you're talking to another human about it, they're like, hey, did you notice that connection? So having someone else see your brain and reflect it back to you is like, yes, incredible to me. It never ceases to blow my mind.
I wholeheartedly agree. It's amazing to have that safe space to be able to really just lay it all out there, as you said. And I find that I make connections in a 1 hour call. And, you know, I'm talking most of the time. My coach is asking a few questions. And all of a sudden, it's like I have a light bulb moment, right?
Right?
Yeah. It's pretty special to be able to...
Absolutely.
Yeah, just have that space to think and to have somebody just be really present just for you. I have the most loving and amazing husband, but there's certain things I don't want to dump out onto him, like my thought processes and certain things, and having a space with a coach to just be able to say, oh, this is what's going on. This is all, you know, that I'm working on. I'm unsure of this, that, and the other thing, you know, and just to have that almost that person to reflect back, I have found really useful.
I 100% agree. It's fascinating.
Yes. So if the listeners want to connect with you, if they want to follow you, if they want to hire you, how do they find you?
So my favorite place to hang out is on Instagram. And I'm at, my handle is at Loly, L-O-L-Y underscore love. And yes, that is my personal account from 7 years ago that never got converted to a business account, but here we are. And my website is Lorraine with one R Martinez.com. And you can find all the information. I offer one-on-one coaching all year long. I'm always open for one-on-one clients. And we work on anything really in life. And my one-on-one, you know, container, it's just about you and what is going on for you. What do you want to create in the time that we're working together? What do you want to shift into or shift out of? And then I have a mastermind for early entrepreneurs, those of you in the first couple of years of business, anywhere from the ideation phase to I just started 6 months ago, a year ago, a year and a half ago, and who are looking to build up to 5K months. And that opens in January and July. So if you follow me on Instagram, you can't miss it. I talk about it. When the launch comes, and we're talking mastermind all month long, so you won't miss it at all.
Awesome. I will put all of that in the show notes. Thank you, Lorraine, for taking the time to speak to me and my listeners. I have really enjoyed it.
You are so welcome. This was so much fun, and thank you, Megan, for everything you do for this amazing community of women lawyers.
Thank you. And to everyone, until next time, take care.
Lawyer moms, we made it through another episode of the Mom Life and Law podcast. I'm so glad you're here. If today's episode resonated with you, I ask that you share it with another lawyer mom in your life. And if you haven't already done so, please leave a rating and review in your podcast app of choice. Until next week, remember, you are more than enough. You have a superpower that this world needs, and you are the perfect mother to your children, flaws and all. Take care.